Good Saturday morning. Thanks for tuning in to Local Matters on KTLO. This is Heather Loftus. Glad to be back with you after a few weeks I had taken off. But we're back in the studio now, and welcome to have with us the Sheriff of Baxter County, Mr. John Montgomery.
Good
welcome.
Morning.
Haven't seen you in a while.
I know it has been a while.
It's hot outside. They always say when it gets really hot outside, the natives get restless.
Well, I was going to say, it does bring out the best behavior in folks. And you can tell by looking at our inmate roster, which I know you do every morning.
I do. I'm not going to lie. I'm one of 1,000 subscribers that get your emails and log on every morning and check that out, of course. But I did see, I don't know if it was on Instagram or Twitter, or you probably do it on both, but the other morning you tweeted out, "I'm looking at our inmate roster," and forgive me, I'm paraphrasing, I don't know exactly what you said, but it was the fact that you keep seeing the same names and the same pictures over and over again in your inmate roster.
Yeah, we use the term repeat offenders. Some mm-hmm. people call them frequent flyers, but I have been.
Frequent flyers is a little too positive.
maybe they should get frequent flyer miles or something.
There's a rewards program.
Right. But you've heard me, I know it's almost like a revolving record, but for the last two, three, probably closer to 4 years, mm-hmm. I have been talking about the repeat offenders and the damage that's being caused by those repeat offenders. And we've talked many times, and mm-hmm. yes, I do realize that most of this comes down to money and what we're willing to pay for. But it's kind of like, and I'll give you a quick example. Even 2 years ago, roughly, I had put out a newsletter that was pretty critical of the parole system and the prison system and how long we're keeping them. And it caught the attention of the governor's office and the legislature in Little Rock. And I actually was then contacted and asked to come down and testify before a committee. And so at the end of that testimony, and this is all about repeat offenders and how they're the repeat offenders not only cost to lock them up, which mm-hmm. is all anybody ever wants to talk about, but it also cost the victim out here who continuously gets hurt or damaged or their property stolen. It also cost law enforcement to investigate these crimes. It also cost the court systems. It's tying up court systems. When you've had someone, and you've seen it many times, it's been in and out of my jail 40 times. They've been to prison numerous times. So anyway,
I have noticed in your press releases, you have started adding how many times an individual has been in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's because of the frustration that because we only want to talk about what it costs to lock them up. There is so many other costs by not locking them up. Mm-hmm. And I would even argue sometimes that cost might be cheaper to lock them up mm-hmm. than the real cost. But back to the testimony at the very end, and again, I've talked about all the problems of repeat offenders. So the chairman of that mm-hmm. committee said, "Well, Sheriff, before you go, if you could have one wish, what would it be?" And I thought for a second and I said, "Well, I guess right now, if you could build me a 1,000-bed prison, and let me only lock up repeat offenders that's been to prison 5 or more times, I think that would solve many of our problems." And so there was some discussion back and forth. And so here about a month or so ago, I happened to run across one of the old photos of when I was down there. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, I would just wonder how many people actually have been to prison 5 or more times. So I made that request, and I got the answer. Now, my question was two parts. It was, how many are currently in prison 5 or more times, and how many have been released in the last 3 years that have been 5 or more times? Well, the first number I got was only how many are in prison. Over 3,300 are currently in prison right now that's been there 5 or more times. So I was astounded. I knew the number was high, but I was still thinking my 1,000-bed prison would solve this issue. Obviously, it won't. So I made a second request, and that was, can I get a different breakdown of, say, 6, 7, 8, et cetera, just trying to see those numbers. Well, the numbers came back. The number of people that were released from prison last year that had been there 6 or more times was over 1,000. Now, Heather, the problem of it is, you have to work. They have put so many things in place to try to stop people from being locked up, that if you go to prison, you've had to work pretty hard to get there. And if you've been there 6 or more times, you are not going to get it. You are not going to be rehabilitated.
You have no desire.
You have no desire. And I simply argue that we need to lock those folks up to protect society. And I would even argue reduce the cost that it's costing with them running free.
What is the average cost to lock someone up?
Well, for us in the county, it's roughly $48, $49 a day. Mm-hmm. I think the state is more close to 60, something mm-hmm. like that, per day.
And when you average 110 to 120 inmates per day,
yeah,
there's your money.
There's your money. And so, but then again, flip the coin. What does it cost when we keep having to investigate crimes and keeping arresting them? And then the court systems are tied up mm-hmm. and the probation and parole officers are, again, mm-hmm. we go back to another problem. The probation and parole officers, 180 apiece is their caseload. You can't, I mean, we've got some great folks, but they can't, you can't manage that many.
Because you're supposed to see that, those individuals.
Every month.
Every month.
You got 180. Okay. You start doing the math.
Right.
And so it doesn't work. And you've got some, honestly, that.
Because it's not like they show up for scheduled appointments.
No. No, so they're out looking for folks.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, in a way, they're a lot like kids. You've got some kids that if you kind of watch over them, they're going to behave.
Right.
If you just turn them loose, they're going to, you know, run rampant. And you've got some of the probation and parolees, it's the same way. If they can be watched and monitored mm-hmm. on a fairly regular basis, they'll behave and then hopefully we'll be able to go back and become a productive member of society. Mm-hmm. You've got others. I agree that it's just not going to matter. But it goes back again. Those are the ones that continue to go back to prison. Mm-hmm. And we would, I believe, be money better spent mm-hmm. for some of these numbers to lock them up and keep them.
This is a judicial reform issue, and this is not a Baxter County issue.
No.
I mean, of course, I mean, we've heard this for several years. This is across the United States. Who's leading that? I mean, it's community leaders and law enforcement who, you know, keep sounding the alarms. But are there any changes even on the horizon?
Oh, well, the changes are the other way. And I hate to tell you, but back in 2011, we had what was called Act 570. And everybody in law enforcement knows what this is. And even everybody in parole and probation knows what this is. I would still argue it was one of the worst pieces of legislation Arkansas did, because what they did is they hired a group to come in and do a study. They said, you're locking too many folks up. We've got to stop putting people to prison. And here's my comment at that time. I said, we don't need to stop sending people to prison for committing crimes. We need to stop the attitude, and we need to stop them mm-hmm. from committing crimes. There's a big difference.
To play devil's advocate, one of the things that you hear most often from individuals is we are too concerned with the little things, the little crimes. I didn't know there's a hierarchy of crime, apparently, but drinking, marijuana being the two. So if we'd stop worrying so much and locking people up for those and worry about the bigger stuff, our problems would be solved.
Well, here'll be a quick question I'll have you. We had a poll on our website back some time back. So how many people do you think are currently in the Arkansas prison system because of marijuana? Well, just give me a percentage.
Percentage? Less than 5.
Okay. What if I told you 0?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And people are shocked by that. Okay. That's not the focus anymore. And it's like here, while you may see people that occasionally will get arrested mm-hmm. for marijuana, in almost every case, mm-hmm. there are more to it. In other words, they may be drunk driving and had marijuana on them, or they may have meth and marijuana. Mm-hmm. But so while they may get charged with a marijuana crime, in most cases, it's because there's other things that's with that.
How is it we see these stories, and I've seen repeated stories in the national news the past few weeks, about when the legislation was passed, the, you know, Nancy Reagan's Just Say No to Drugs, and they kind of went the crackdown on crack and all that, where you would go to prison for 20 years for one instance. You know, we had the Kim Kardashian help free the lady in Memphis and those different things. But with meth, it seems like it's just continued repeat offenders. Is there a difference? Does the judicial system look at crack and cocaine different than they do methamphetamine?
Well, actually, in the beginning, when meth first became, mm-hmm. I hate to use the word popular, but
it's, you know what it is.
But if you go back years ago, you had cocaine and you had crack cocaine. And so those things were, again, very harsh, and they were long. If you look at when meth first became popular, it was the same thing. There was mandatory 70% sentences for certain meth right. crimes and so on and so forth. Well, that's all changed. I mean, now that mandatory sentence mm-hmm. has been reduced way down.
Why?
Well, because there's no place to lock them up. Okay?
Money.
We talked about it before we went on the air briefly about rehabilitation for a lot of these. And you've got folks that really would have a problem and want to get off. But it's at least been, I'll just say, my experience over the years in talking to the experts and what I've been able to observe. This sending someone for a 30-day rehab is not working, and it's probably not going to work. Everybody I've talked to that seems to have some knowledge says you're looking at 9 months to a year. Now, that's expensive, and that's going to cost money. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly you've got a difference in folks who want help. If the money or the rehab was there, they'll do whatever it takes to get. Mm-hmm. You've got others. It's kind of like drug court. Because the sentences have become so lax, it's hard to find somebody to go to drug court. Why would I want to? I'm going to be out in just a short time anyway, so I'll take my chances. I'll go over here. It's a problem that I don't have an answer for, but we're going to have to get a handle on it. I and you have seen a drastic change just in the last 5 years, and it's not
big
getting,
time,
and it's not getting better.
No, it's getting nothing but worse.
Absolutely.
You know, and we talk. It's prescription drugs and opioids, and that's the talk. You know, of kind of the across the United States, but it's meth here.
Well, it's meth here, however.
Because it started, is it just meth is the last thing on the list?
Well, meth really kind of started here and went elsewhere.
Elsewhere, right.
The problem that you have, and I can remember it's been 4 or 5 years ago, I was at a seminar and they talked about heroin was coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it was going to come back is because of the opioid problem.
Right.
Well, I'll just say this. I have seen more heroin in the first 6 months of 2018 in Baxter County than I've seen in my 30-year career.
Oh, God. And you have Narcan now.
We do have Narcan.
Yes, you have Narcan.
We have Narcan.
Have you used it?
To my knowledge, none of us have had to use it, okay? But we do have it, and we carry it. And so, but the heroin issue, I don't want the listeners to think that we've got it running rampant. I'm just saying that it is coming, and the reason it's coming is because the opioid problem is such that people build up a tolerance mm-hmm. and it becomes so expensive they can turn to a cheap alternative, which is heroin, which is much more addictive. And mm-hmm. so we've got a problem.
Well, there was a story on KTLO just, I think, Thursday of this week about the state of Missouri. There was a study done, I think, out of Senator McCaskill's office to where Missouri was the leading state to where more opioids per person had been sent than any other state. You know, you always hear about West Virginia and those places, but it was Missouri, and specifically listed Howe County, the bordering counties of Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Absolutely. And of course, it goes back to, again, it's beyond me why people, they're not happy with their life, and so they keep turning to, alternatives to get them into a different mm-hmm. space. And it starts with the kids in school and families, it's a problem.
On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Local Matters on KTLO. Welcome back to Local Matters on KTLO. We're visiting once again with Baxter County Sheriff John Montgomery. Sheriff, this past April, a tax started in Baxter County. It was passed by the voters of September of last year for a new jail. We've talked a lot about repeat offenders and how we as a community want this to stop as much as we can. How will the new jail that the taxpayers are help funding, how will this address the repeat offender issue?
Well, I'd love to tell you it's going to solve it, but it's not.
No.
But the problem that we have now, we're running anywhere from 15 to 30% over. So in other mm-hmm. words, our capacity is 100. We're running 116 mm-hmm. to 130 on a consistent basis.
Mm-hmm.
We'd occasionally top it. So the realistic hard, cold truth is we've got to figure out what to do with these folks, and some of these real minor stuff we kick out the door. Now, some listeners might say, well, you don't need to be locking up anyway. But here's the problem with that. I'm a firm believer that there has to be an accountability. If you take a child, if they know they're never going to get in trouble, they keep running rampant.
Right.
So you've got people that you've got to continue to hold them accountable. And right now, we can't. And I'll even take it a step further. Those that are in our jail, you know, there's not a lot we can do to that person in the jail. In other words, if they don't behave. If they don't behave and they cause issues or fights or whatever, we can isolate them and put their own cell, except they don't have any. If they misbehave, you can take certain things away or lock them down. Mm-hmm. I don't have the space to do that, and they know it, and so therefore their behavior is bad. So,
isn't it amazing how the criminals know more about our local detention center and than like most of us do?
Well, and I'll just tell you, on top of that, they'll know when they're going to get out. It's like if they go to prison, they can they know more than the attorneys do about the day they're going to get out. That's how, and again, we're talking about those folks that are repeat offenders that's been in and out over and over. And it's frustrating because if you get sentenced to 6 years, that's 6 months. I mean, you know, so, and then there's ways you can get out quicker than that. And then many times you get paroled out of the jail before you ever get to prison. I mean, a prime example, we had a manhunt, a fugitive, and recently in the western part of our county. And so when he finally gets caught, he had been convicted five times for being a felon in possession of firearms. Okay. And when he gets caught, he's got a firearm again. His last time, his fifth time, he served 102 days in the county jail for his fifth conviction. He's already been to prison 7 times. There's no accountability,
mm-mm,
and they know it. And so I'll go back. There has to be an accountability. People have to be held responsible for their actions. So back to your original question on the jail, what that will do, and we're hopefully in a year we'll have opened the new section. But what that does is it gives us several isolation cells, but it gives us room. So we don't have to try to figure out how to kick some of these people out the door. We can go back to the prosecutors and judge and say, you get this guy, we now have space for him. They've tried to help us, not send him to us, because we have a space problem. But yet the inmates, the criminals know that,
right,
and it's a joke to them. Oh, I'm not going to go to jail, or if I do, you know, it will be just for a little bit because they don't have space for me. So I do think it will help. It's not going to solve the problem, but at least we can hopefully start holding some accountability here.
And you can't send them anywhere else because of the cost that would be incurred by the county.
$50 to $60 a day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, it's not.
It's a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle. It does come down to money.
It always does.
Money matters.
That was the old one. This is Local Matters. Good try, though. Give us the timeline for the new facility. Where are we? What do you expect?
Bids. We've already accepted bids. They're in the process of reviewing the bids. There's, I think there's a couple things that they're going to rebid, is my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
The initial part, which is the digging, moving the sewer line, that's they're going to accept that bid, and we'll be signing those contracts very shortly. So,
and this is all going to be located on your campus.
Yes, correct. We're adding another 65 beds, roughly, to that. So I think that the project will get started hopefully in the next 30 days. I mean, they'll actually start digging.
Moving dirt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And then, but there will be a couple things I think they're going to have to rebid that they wasn't happy with the bids that came in and so on and so forth. Timeline, roughly a year. And so we'll obviously know more next spring about an opening date, but we think roughly sometime around July, August next year, hopefully.
How many beds do you have in your existing facility?
100.
100. So you'll add 65 more, so it'll be a 165-bed facility. You're currently averaging 115 to 130?
Correct.
So it's not going to be a lot of wiggle room.
No, it's not. But again, I will.
What's been the growth? What's been the growth? And, you know, you mentioned the last 5 years, I mean, big changes. What's been your occupancy growth over those last 5 years?
We've noticed a huge spike probably in the last 2.5 to 3 years. Yeah, I mean, and part of the issue, when you look at space, it's space, but it's also personnel
staffing,
to handle them,
right.
Staffing. And so, you know, if you looked at the average population, which is kind of what you have to do, and yes, it's going to be a little higher on the weekends, mm-hmm. and yes, it's going to be a little higher in the summer because of, you know, of the area. But whereas we used to occasionally spike over 100, now we've been consistently there. And again, it's drug-related crimes. Mm-hmm. And people, I hear this, well, drugs is, it's a victimless crime. No, it's not.
I don't know who says that.
The family members that's assaulted. You look at the baby that was ingested meth. You look at, was crawling on the floor and it gets into the parents' meth. You look at the thefts and the burglaries and the, all of this stuff that happened. It is not a victimless crime by any stretch of the imagination.
I cannot listen to nor read the stories about the children. I can't do it. I physically can't do it anymore.
I will tell you, our officers and our investigators do a tremendous job because we have to deal with that. And they do it, day after day after day. And so you put that on multiple years. It does. It does a toll on them.
How are we taking care of them?
Well, there's no magic pill and everybody's a little bit different. But we do offer counseling to them. And we, in our case, we make it truly anonymous so that we don't need to know. But we try to provide that as much as we can. We also try to, and while it's easy and we want them to take time off and so on and so forth, that's a vicious cycle.
Then you have got someone else working overtime.
Yes.
Yes. I think we can all relate to that.
It's tough. And it's like even here from a staffing problem. Our deputies, we're shorthanded on the road now. And mm-hmm. Honestly, Heather, we've talked about this. If I'm fully staffed, I've only got 3 deputies covering the county.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we haven't had an increase in patrol deputies, and now this is mm-hmm. year 20. And look at what's happened here. And so, I'm hopeful mm-hmm. that once this new jail's built, and that will actually free up some other funds, I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to address some of these staffing issues.
I was reminded of that when, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, there was the story where there was a car that was being driven erratically within the county, and it's so you think, well, where is everybody? Well, you have 3 full-time deputies. Well, at that time, there's probably only 1 working because of the time of day. And then if you see someone in one part of the county, you have 1 person that you have if they're not already working something that has to go find
right.
them.
Well, and to clarify, we do have 3 working at a shift, on a shift.
Gotcha.
But at the same time, and again, I don't know particularly on, I know the case that you're talking about, but you think about it, so you got the, look how big Baxter County mm-hmm. is. And so if you have, and while we too try to divide the county up, into different mm-hmm. areas, if you have hot calls, you're going to have to send 2 deputies. Well, that leaves 1 for the rest of the county.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many, many times that there's calls pending. In other words, and then they have to start prioritizing those calls. Mm-hmm. I've got 5 calls waiting to be answered. So of those 5, which is the most important? And the supervisor on duty's got to make those calls.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yours is the most important.
To me.
To you.
Absolutely.
And so you get frustrated when we don't get mm-hmm. there very quickly, but the supervisor trying to figure out which is the more pressing call to do.
On an average day, what is your call volume?
I don't know that I could put a number to it. I'll just tell you that if you go back, and I'm just even going to say more than 5 years ago, our deputies got to do a lot of what I call preventive maintenance. They would be able to drive around in neighborhoods and stop and visit with folks and be seen.
And that's important, too, because that creates that relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. Plus, we learn a lot of stuff, and while you're in those neighborhoods,
because we're not afraid to say, hey, have y'all seen this?
Exactly. But I'll tell you, in the last 4 or 5 years, they spend almost all of their day answering calls and not being able to actually do what we call patrolling, which
mm-hmm.
is out actually doing preventive stuff. Because you think about it, when you see a police car and you're driving, what's the first thing you do?
Slow down.
Mm-hmm. Take your foot off the accelerator, okay? Well, so that visibility of that officer. Now, granted, we're answering calls, we're driving to and from, but we're not in those neighborhoods, and we're not out doing what we need to be doing.
You also tweeted out last week a reminder for folks to lock their doors.
We get this ever so often, but we're currently having a rash of car break-ins. And by the way, the statute says breaking or entering, not breaking and entering. And so people go, well, they didn't break in. They opened the door. No, that's still considered because you're going to a space.
Who says that, the criminal or the person that, or the victim?
The criminal. And so out of these, and I don't know what what the number is now, but it's probably close to 75 vehicles, somewhere in that name. But that's with Marion County, Gasville, Briarcliff, all around the county. And out of all of those, every single one of them has been left unlocked. So I go back, and here's the best example I can give folks. If you go back, and I want to say 7 or 8 years ago, we had a rash of car break-ins, and it happened at one of the big box stores here. And several vehicles were broken into. When we went back and pulled the videotape, there was two people, one driving a car, one walking up and down the aisles pulling door handles. And if the door was open, in and out, 10 seconds or less. And so you think about it, you became a victim. Well, how could you have prevented that? If you'd locked your car, they weren't in. Now, I want to make it clear, just because you lock it is not a 100% proof, because you may get somebody break a window out. It is so rare that happens.
Well, and we're constantly asking, what can we do to stop the drug problem in this area? What can we do? What can we do? Well, you know what? One tiny small step we can take is lock our cars, because most often or not, they're breaking into the cars because they need money. They want to find something or find pills that they can pawn or sell to get more drugs.
Exactly. Exactly. It's called crime displacement. If we could make it so difficult for them to break the law here, they'll go to the next county. And I'm sorry, neighboring counties, but we want to take care of ourselves. And you're right. That little small thing can go a long way. And keep your prescriptions in your house, not in a normal spot. Hide them. Because you got kids, grandkids, people that come in and do service. Hide them.
You've been talking about that for years in this area. You know, because of our retirement population, you know, don't keep those pill bottles in your kitchen window or on your bathroom counter. I mean, you've been saying that for years.
I know. But those are little things that can actually make a big difference.
Sheriff John Montgomery, always good to have you in studio. You know, maybe we could have some of these people. We keep talking about the people that can help, can truly help make the decisions and help change the law, maybe they can come spend a day with you and your guys.
You know what? I actually wished we could make it mandatory. and if any legislators are listening, it ought to be mandatory that they have to spend at least, say, 5 days with an officer once a year. Or 2 days with an officer once a year, and make that part of a mandate that they have to do. And you know what?
You think our repeat offender situation might change?
I think it would.
Sheriff John Montgomery, Baxter County Sheriff. How long have you been sheriff?
I'm in year 14.
Year 14, there you go. Thanks for coming in.
All right, you bet.
You've been listening to Local Matters on KTLO.